105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of the Biz Connect radio show with myself, Martin White. And as always, we've got two fabulous guests in the studio with us today. To my right, we have
Joe James, Chief Executive at the Kent and Victor Chamber.
Joe, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on today. And to my left,
We have Charlie Grammo-Gillam from Red Key Concept Design and Build Limited.
Fantastic. Charlie, lovely to see you as well. Charlie's going to be co-hosting the show with me today, which is fabulous. We're going to be talking all things kind of business in Kent, and who better than Joe to tell us with her finger on the pulse in terms of what's going on here. We're going to be looking at the current kind of business trading environment, some positive news stories from around the county in terms of everything that's going on, particularly here in Folkestone as well. We're going to be talking about building back greener, part of the government's strategy in terms of sustainability. And we're also going to be talking about sort of general transport and infrastructure kind of news and stories there as well. And Charlie, it'd be great to have you here as a sort of a business owner to give us some kind of first-hand insight in terms of what's actually going on out there from your point of view.
Yeah, I'm really excited actually to be here with Jo because she really has her pulse, finger on the pulse as it were, anything with regards to anything to do with the construction sector. And many of our listeners out there do appreciate that the sector itself is one of the largest in the UK economy. I think it employs around about 9% of the workforce. Joe, you can correct me on my stats if they're not correct currently. But also it relies on a labour-intensive business model, which we were discussing before the show, has had a bit of an impact with regards to finding staff and skilled labours to facilitate that. So the question we have is, really, is it becoming unsustainable due to the impact of demographic change, et cetera, et cetera? So it'd be nice to sort of discover and discuss a little bit more about those areas with Joe today.
Good. So do stay with us. We've got a packed show, but I think what we'll do for now is play a little bit of music and then we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back to the Biz Connect radio show, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in today. As we were saying before the break, we've got two super guests in the studio. We've got Charlie Grammo-Gillam from Red Key Concepts Design and Build, a construction main contractor in the studio. And we also have Joe James, who is the Chief Executive of the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. I should say, Joe James OBE, of course. Mustn't forget that. But lovely to have you both with us today. I think what I'd like to do, if we can, is start by talking about what you're hearing, Joe, on the ground from businesses about the state of the trading environment in Kent. And I know you've just come back from the National Chambers of Commerce conference in London last week as well. It'd be interesting to hear whether or not what you're seeing and what we're seeing in Kent is also being kind of reflected on a national level. So just give us an overview, if you can, Joe, give us a flavour for what you're hearing about the difficulties in terms of current business trading.
Yeah, I think from a Kent perspective, for once, we're no better off or no worse than the rest of the UK. I think businesses in the same situation, no matter where they're situated. I could probably say it's a tale of two halves. They're those that are relatively optimistic, and they're those that, I don't know how I can put it, it's purely devastated. And it's not really surprising with a myriad of challenges facing businesses at the moment. They've got increased costs, shortage of materials, lack of people, and it's affecting all sectors. If I look at, we all like a stat, so if I look at the latest Quarter Economic Survey stats, 65% of businesses are expecting to have to raise their prices. 82% cite inflation as their biggest concern, and that's not really surprising. And what's particularly worrying is that 75% are not planning any increase or any investment. For the economy to keep going, we need businesses to invest. So that real slowdown in investment isn't going to help things. And you know, not surprising again, the biggest pressures, utility bills, labour costs, fuel costs, and raw materials. Mm. And to summarise it, I'd probably say overall the results clearly point to a weakening economic outlook amid unprecedented cost pressures and falling business confidence. Mm. But, you know, all sectors are being affected at the moment, but some sectors worse than others, particularly when you look at, you know, some in agriculture, but particularly hospitality and leisure. And I don't know if you heard this morning, I heard on the radio on the way in this morning that we've now got, we're down to about 40,000 pubs in the UK. You know, there used to be one on every street corner when I was a kid, and, you know, we're now down to, no wonder we all like to drink. Mm. You know, now we're down to, you know, 40,000 and less, with them saying one is closing per week. And
isn't some of that down to just sort of changing lifestyle, changing demographic, though? I mean, you know, back in the day when my father was growing up, for example, in London, you know, that's what everybody did. You know, they met at the pub and they had a pint of beer, and that's how people socialise. But now you can, you know, you can buy drink in the supermarket, people have got their home entertainment systems, you know, inevitably that results in change, surely, on that level, doesn't it?
Change, obviously, is obviously going to affect it, but I don't think change has, you know, it is the main reason for it, because, you know, pubs have diversified over the years, and, you know, a lot now you don't go actually for drink, you go out to eat and you go out to socialise. And in an example of how they're being affected, which really ties into the stat released today, I had a conversation only last week with the owner of the Dog at Wingham, and, you know, he's managed to survive through COVID, you know, with difficulty, but they've managed to do it. And here they are now, faced with prices across the board increasing anything from sort of 25 to 200%, soaring utility bills. Mm. This year they've done a break-even budget, but utilities alone of an increase, I think it's around about £65,000 increased in the year.
It's just ridiculously shocking, isn't it? It really is.
You know, how's he going to survive? And to me, with, you know, the government doesn't earn its, this is a frustrating thing, the government doesn't earn its own money. Mm. You know, the government raises around £8 billion in revenue each year. Mm. And most of that comes from the three biggest taxes. It comes from national insurance, it comes from income tax, and it comes from VAT.
Yeah.
So, you know, why are you biting and starving the hand that feeds you? Mm. You know, business needs support, and it needs support now. And probably the quickest thing they could do, and we've been calling on the government to do this, is to cut VAT on utility bills. Mm-hmm. You know, they could do that, and they could do it now.
Yeah, and that would work, wouldn't it? Because I think in the, you know, when we look at fuel duty, for example, we had that recent cut, didn't we, Charlie, in fuel duty. What was it, five pence or something? I can't remember what it was, but there was some scepticism as to whether or not that was even being passed on, you know, on the part of the kind of the, you know, the fuel industry and retailers. But I guess something like that is, you know, you will notice that directly in terms of your kind of your cost base, as you say, Joe, and therefore it will have a positive impact.
It will have an impact for all businesses. Mm. But the thing that, you know, is so annoying, that, you know, the government, and quite rightly, you know, and, you know, I'm a consumer as well as a business person, you know, they've done their focus on, you know, trying to do things to help us as individuals with our utility bills. But at the end of the day, if they don't do anything to support business, then it's going to be very short-sighted, because at the end of the day, there won't be those jobs there anyway. Mm. So, you know, they need support for business to keep the economy going.
And let's not forget, we're still all coming out of COVID, post-COVID, and it's going to take years and years and years for various business sectors to recover. You know, that it's not helpful, is it, that our utility bill increases has been so quiet.
Well, hospitality, again, it's just taking another immediate hit, isn't it, at the moment, as you say.
So. The thing is, they're not Kent problems, and actually they're not UK problems. Mm. Mm. You know, the shortage, the people shortage that we're finding ourselves in now, the rising costs that we're finding ourselves in, they're worldwide. Mm. You know, they're not just Kent or UK problems.
Mm. The other scary thing I was watching on the news last week was farmers talking about how it's just not economic for them anymore to produce food.
Absolutely, I mean, and a lot
that was scary, wasn't it, to listen to that?
Chatting to a couple of farmers that we know, and they were saying that they've been approached by various very well-known larger developers with opportunities for them to sell their land to.
Yeah.
And some of them are having no choice, really, because they're really not making ends meet when it comes to the production of food
But something's gone wrong there, surely, fundamentally, if you know, the people that kind of put food on our table, you know, whether it's kind of meat products, sausages, or, you know, agricultural cereal-based products, if they're saying, look, you know, we can't afford to produce food anymore, surely the government has to step in and do something fundamentally different, don't they?
Well, the government really should have been looking at this about 5 years ago, when we knew we were going to potentially be coming out of the EU.
Mm.
We should have then to start to look at how we can be more self-sufficient.
Mm.
And that's where, you know, rather than relying, and this is where we're suffering at the moment, because we're so reliant on imports.
Mm.
You know, we knew what changes were going to happen. So why did the government not do more to actually support our farmers and actually make us more, you know, we're an island, why can't we be more, more self-sufficient?
Yeah.
And we've got plenty of green spaces. Here we are in Kent, in the Garden of England.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, we should, in theory, be able to grow our own food.
Mm.
But that's why, relating it back to our industry that we work in, is that, you know, people say, why is timber and wood so expensive? Well, I mean, the price of timber in the UK has been on the rise since the start of sort of 2021. And we get a lot of it imported from the global markets, but that supply has been pinched. Mm. And the US, pretty much the US housing or house building market's reached a 15-year high, and that's had a huge effect on the amount of timber being able to be released to the UK, and therefore the cost of that. It's ridiculously
scarcity
high.
Scarcity of resources.
It will be. Yeah, I mean, not willing to send that timber over because their markets are so high. The demand is so high, the highest in 15 years.
Mm. That's globalisation for you, isn't it? But as you say, Joe, you know, what we've lost sight of is our exposure to that global market, and actually, you know, what we should have been doing perhaps is focusing on, you know, what we can actually produce in the UK to mitigate against some of that. So, interesting point. I think what we'll do now, we'll just kind of leave it there for the minute and play a little bit of music. But when we come back, if we can, Joe, I mean, we could talk about the economy, you know, for the rest of the day, but I'd like to focus in on some of the good things that are happening in Kent as well. And I know there's a lot of good stuff happening here in Folkestone, for example. So, do stay with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the Biz Connect radio show today. Before the break, we were talking with Joe James and Charlie Graham-O'Gillam all about the challenges facing businesses in Kent at the moment, and also nationally, and I think it's fair to say globally, Joe, as well, in terms of inflation and cost pressures, etc. But it's not all doom and gloom out there, obviously. There is some fantastic work going on and some really positive news stories, and I wanted to kind of focus in on that, if we can now, for the next bit of the show, Joe. So just tell us, in terms of, you know, towns like Folkestone, for example, and seaside towns generally, I think it's fair to say we're going through a bit of a resurgence. Is that right?
Oh, we certainly are. It's not all doom and gloom, and, you know, Charlie, I know this. You don't have to go far anywhere in Kent to look up and see cranes in the sky.
Yes.
You know, there is development.
We do love a crane.
Yeah. I must admit, I don't when I look out my bedroom window, and there's that one that's flashing at me 24/7. But there's some, you know, great developments going on, and I think Folkestone, you know, you mentioned Martin Folkestone. I think that's, you know, a great example that, you know, the harbour arm is amazing.
Mm.
And it's redesigning, you know, the seaside day out, and basically taking what was a redundant port into somewhere that gets over a million visitors a year.
Yes.
I mean, it is a real positive
it's
story.
A destination, isn't it, you know, for a sort of a day out. And our good friend Stefano from Macnaid, who we all know very well, he was on the show at Christmas actually. I think they're expanding into the harbour arm as well. I think they're going to have a new food emporium down there as well. And we had Laura from Wild Box Events.
She's got a great
She's got a new bar down there, hasn't she? So, yeah. So
there's so much down there. I mean, and McNaid's down there. I just think it'd be great because, you know, they've opened up in Ashford. And, you know, the Chamber's head office is in Ashford. And I have to say, I am there frequently. You know, if somebody wanted to meet me, I'll say, oh, let's meet at McNaid's. You know, it's great that, you know, it's just such a lovely, relaxed atmosphere. And I just think it will really complement what's down there already. And also there's the Harbour and Sea Seafront Development.
Yes.
With outline planning permission already. And that's for around 1,000 homes and commercial space going on down there. And and I think all this will really, really complement everything that's happening down at Otterpool.
Yes, I agree,
So I think, you know, I think Folkestone, to me, is the real place to keep your eye on.
But you mentioned Ashford as well. I mean, I was at the Archbishop of Canterbury's talk at Christmas. You were there, Joe, as well. We were in that fabulous new cinema complex that's been built there. Again, you know, Macnaid, underneath that, we're opposite the Curious Brewery. There's a new hotel there as well, and new Hilton, I think it is, or a Holiday Inn, I can't remember. And now I was reading in the news at the weekend about Netflix obviously coming into, you know, what was kind of redundant railway sidings kind of space, and Ashford Borough Council getting behind that. So it's really happening, isn't it?
I think Ashford definitely you know, is happening. And, you know, you mentioned McNaid's and the Picture House. You know, that Elwick Place development down there is, to me, it's just amazing. And, you know, I live in Ashford, and actually from my house I could walk there, but, you know, lazily. I went Friday before last. I took the car, but I went to the cinema. So I went to the Picture House and
What did you see?
Well, I was going to say, I watched Elvis. I'm going to admit live on air now, I am a secret Elvis fan.
But there is nothing wrong with that,
no,
Joe.
Whether you like Elvis or not, got to say, fantastic film. Make sure you watch it. But went down, went to the cinema, watched the film. After that, we went literally next door. We went to the Italian there. We had something to eat. We went the other side in Matches. We had a drink. Then we walked a few more feet, got back in the car, and we had free parking. I mean, what more can you want?
Amazing.
You know, amazing. But, you know, you mentioned about the Ashford International Film Studios on the Newtown Works. You know, fantastic that the funding now is put together for that. Ashford Borough Council are also investing in it. It has going to be a real game changer, particularly for the creative and digital industries down there, because there's going to be training academies. So that's really going to transform something that's been derelict for many, many years. And obviously in Ashford as well, you know, fantastic news. You know, Brompton Bikes, looking at relocating, could have come anywhere, but they're coming to Ashford. So, you know, absolutely, you know, hats off to Ashford Borough Council, I've got to say.
They could have done a Dyson, couldn't they, and gone to Singapore or China or somewhere.
They could have done. I must admit, you know, our councils are very forward thinking when it comes to, you know, getting their name out there and trying to attract businesses in. And we're very fortunate with locating Kent. You know, Gavin and the team, they're doing an amazing job at really putting Kent on the map, as does, you know, Deirdre at Visit Kent as well, you know. So we've got some great ambassadors out there all the time.
Let's not forget Discovery Park, our good friends down there. You know, in terms of life sciences, again, it's one of those industry sectors, I think, that's really booming on the back of COVID. You know, one of the positives that's come out of that whole life sciences sector.
I think Discovery Park is, you know, is one of our great successes. I mean, we, you know, there was real devastation, you know, when Pfizer were going to be moving out, and now, you know, there's more jobs down there than when you know there's ever been down there. And, you know, Discovery Park's looking at, You know, there's businesses there looking at all types of new technology in hydrogen, in vertical farming.
Vertical farm going, you know? Isn't there? That's being built at the moment, and it really is quite tall. I must, you know, drive past it quite regularly.
You know, so there's a real opportunity down there, particularly those in the healthcare, you know, really leading the way. Veritas are down there. So, you know, to me, it's a real success story. And obviously, on the back of that, Thanet as well. You know, we got Thanet Parkway coming on later this year, which is really going to help support the Discovery Park. And obviously, there's down at the port, there's the Ramsgate plans for the wider regeneration.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
You know, that area is really now starting to pick up. And I think, you know, we're talking about infrastructure a bit later development. So we'll come on to Manston. But, you know, regardless of what happens down there, we can have a discussion on that. You know, the fact that we've got Thanet Parkway coming down there is really going to open up possibilities down there.
Because the train station infrastructure in the middle of the town is never going to be suitable to, you know, for kind of managing, you know, commuters, for example, large numbers of people. There's nowhere to park there, for example. So on a practical level, it just didn't work. So I think that's a real positive. But also, you know, outside of businesses, you know, clearly we've got this kind of, we are living in a brave new world now, post-COVID. People don't have to be in the office 5 days a week. I mean, I used to do that commute 5 days a week on the slow train, and believe you me, it was torturous.
Yes, yeah.
But people don't have to do that now. And we have seen, certainly in Ramsgate, you know, a lot of people moving into the area with money. Clearly, it's pushed up property prices, but that's a phenomenon that's happening all over the country. But the point is, they're bringing money down. And, you know, particularly on the high street in Ramsgate, for example, I'm sure the same is in Folkestone, although it probably happened a few years ago. You know, we're seeing vacant premises now being occupied again, you know, by shops and restaurant owners who are really kind of upbeat and positive about the future, particularly Ramsgate High Street. It's well publicised. Mm. You know, it was a bit of a...
I think it'd be nicer to see more going on in Canterbury High Street. There is a lot going on, but sort of towards the latter part of 2021, I know, I appreciate that was when we were in lockdown, but most of the shops were all shutting, and sadly there was no sort of help for shop owners and local businesses. And I think that's what made Canterbury unique, insofar as it was family-owned businesses, much smaller, much less chains, and that's what we're finding now in Ramsgate. The ones that are opening in Broadstairs, Ramsgate, Folkestone are a lot more, like you were saying, Laura, at Wildbox, you know, family-owned independent businesses. And I think that's what gives a fantastic diversity to a community.
As opposed to a Starbucks next to another Starbucks.
Yes.
You know, which is kind of not the future, is it?
No, and I think it makes high streets and town centres more sustainable.
Yeah.
Because if you've got individual businesses there, you're not stuck with clone towns, and that's what we had.
Yeah.
And the problem is when you've got these big department stores in every town, it puts a risk, and that's what's happened. You know, they've closed in Ashford, Canterbury, Folkestone, Maidstone, where, you know, why's Whitstable always been on the map and so sustainable? Because you go down there, it's not a shop, it's a day out, it's a destination.
Absolutely.
Because there's something unique there.
So lots of positive things going on, fantastic. Again, I think we're going to take a break for some music, and when we come back, I'd like to talk about transport and infrastructure on that level, if we can, Joe, and just get the latest in terms of what's going on, you know, with the Lower Thames Crossing, for example. You mentioned Manston. Let's talk about all of that. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, to the third chunk of the Biz Connect radio show today. We've got two super guests in the studio with us. We're talking with Joe James, Chief Executive of Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce, and also Charlie Graham-O'Gillam, who is a director from Main Contractors, Red Key Concepts Design and Build. Lovely to have you guys with us today.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us back on the show.
Thanks so much for coming in. Joe, before the break, we mentioned that we were going to talk about another one of those sort of elephant in the room subjects in Kent. Transport. So, now, there's some fairly... There's been a lot happening, again, most recently with the P&O debacle. There's now kind of widespread summer travel chaos being predicted as well, as, you know, some of these... some of the airlines in particular have realised that actually they haven't got the staff to manage the service that they promised to customers and sold to customers. But we've also got some fairly large, high-profile sort of infrastructure projects going on, or should I say going on, that have been pencilled in, shall we say, like the Lower Thames Crossing, you know, Manston Airport, for example. So let's start with those, if we can, Joe. What's happening with the Lower Thames Crossing? Is it happening? Isn't it happening? Is there another consultation? Where are we at the moment?
Where are we at the moment? At the moment, we're out for consultation. I will not say how many years I've been having this conversation. So it's out for consultation. There's just some no great major changes to the original application, but I think the consultation's due to close shortly. Extremely frustrating, you know, that this has been going on for so many years and we've not even got a spade in the ground yet. But actually, my concern is that the longer this delay continues, that somebody somewhere might change their mind. I don't want to sound negative because I'm the biggest supporter of the Lower Thames Crossing. But, you know, we are in a financial crisis, you know. The country's, you know, it's not great financially at the moment. We've got huge great debts, you know, not a lot of tax receipts coming in, and government looking at cutting back where they can. So my concern really is, you know, are we actually going to get this? We need it. It's essential, and there is great support for it. So really, it's pressure just needs to be continually put on government to make sure that it does come to fruition, because, you know, I just don't know what would happen to Kent and Dartford, and what would happen eventually when we look at, you know, general growth across Kent and the South East. You know, it is needed. It is essential.
It was in the news again this morning for all the wrong reasons. I think they'd had to shut one of the exits, exit roundabouts leading up to the crossing, which meant traffic was being diverted, which of course then, you know, backed all the other traffic up that was trying to, you know, I mean, just chaos.
Just causes a nightmare, doesn't it?
I mean, the Lower Thames Crossing isn't a nice to have. It's not a nice to have. It's an essential to have. You know, it is definitely a must have. And you know, I would urge anybody with a consultation, you know, you'll find it online, just go in and have your say.
Right. Yeah. You know, so it's a public consultation. They want their canvassing public, the public's opinion.
We all just need to really get behind and give our support for that.
Okay. So that's that. What do we know about Manston at the moment? Manston is another one of these sort of ongoing discussions, shall we say, consultations. What is happening? So originally, I think the owners wanted to turn it into a giant housing estate. Then a freight company, River Oak, came along and said, no, we want to run that as a going concern, as an airport, you know, using it as a freight hub. That was approved, I believe. And then it was challenged in the courts, and the Transport Secretary had to revert on his earlier promise, I believe, to kind of allow that development to go ahead. And I think, is it now with the Secretary of State to Grant Shapps to make the final decision? What's going on there, Jay?
Yeah, there's no decision been made yet on the development consent order. So we're probably still where we were and where we have been for years, which is in limbo. You know, and Manston's another one by, like, you know, LTC, the Lower Thames Crossing, and it's been going on for years. And I think Manston is one that really divides opinion.
It really does.
You know, it does. People are passionate either side, but I mean real passion. You know, I've come out over the years in something of support of some development on Manston, and my inbox is just like, oh dear. Yeah, I certainly know that from the people who do not agree with my opinion, they certainly do let me know. But you know, it's one that divides. You know, you've got those on one side that want to see it operational as a freight airport, and you know, and there's those that actually want it over to housing and employment.
But am I right in thinking that it's not actually used at all? It's just totally and utterly redundant. There's no one in there whatsoever.
Well, and most tellingly, recently, you know, with all the latest, you know, cross-channel problems, it wasn't even used as a lorry park, was it? Because the government didn't want to entertain the idea, apparently. So
they've got the option there if they need it to use it. But, you know, it is one that divides opinion. You know, we spoke earlier on about some of the positives and we said about Thanet Parkway later this year. And how unusual is it, you know, to actually get infrastructure in before development takes place. You know, it's probably one of the first I've heard of in many years. So really, you know, the Manston site is well positioned to take advantage of Thanet Parkway. So, you know, if I had to put my money, well, where do I think it's going to be? And please don't fill in my inbox. It's just my opinion. You know, I think it will probably go for housing and employment needs. But only time will tell. But, you know, that we need employment down that area. We need jobs. We need good quality housing. You know, we've got the infrastructure going in down there. It's got all the right ingredients. To make the area, to regenerate the area, which is what it needs.
And it's what we've seen in the other sort of pocket areas that surround Manston as well, isn't it? We've seen infrastructure not necessarily go in as it to a complete level yet, but there's a huge amount of redevelopment in those particular areas. It's just such a shame to see such a huge facility sat there empty with the grounds, etc.
But you're right, Charlie, it needs to be supported by all the other infrastructure. And I think what's happening at the moment, you know, we're chucking houses up all over the place because we need to, because there's a huge demand for housing, but we're not necessarily following through with all the other infrastructure that's needed to support that. You know, the schools, you know, the health services, the road networks. You know, Thanet is a busy place.
Schools are a real problem. Yeah. Schools, doctors, and dentists. And I was kind of talking with my mother's neighbour. She came out and had a word with me last week. You know, they live in Ashford. And the daughter's due to go to secondary school this year, and the nearest place she's been offered is Dover.
Gosh.
You know, it's absolute madness that we keep building houses, flats, you name it. We're building it, but we're not putting all the rest of the infrastructure.
Yeah.
You know, people tend to think of the infrastructure as, you know, we'll talk about the roads. But what's the point in having the roads and the houses if you can't get to the hospital, if you can't, your children can't go to school, you can't go to doctors, you can't get a dentist. You know, it really does need addressing.
Joined up thinking. Yeah,
and as we're all well aware, you know, on a positive, construction output now stands slightly above its pre-pandemic sort of 2020 level. So it's only hopefully, fingers crossed, going to go one way, and that's up with regards to construction and infrastructure and investment. But yes, we do need the schools, the hospices, the hospitals, the doctor surgeries, et cetera, to make that work.
Mm. But I think, you know, it's great news that construction industry is, you know, is doing well. But, you know, there's plenty out there of development opportunities. But, you know, my big fear on holding back on all this development, and it's a slight change of subject, is the lack of people. You know, so we here we are faced with an industry in a county with, you know, real ambition for growth and development, and we're seeing, you know, record levels for the industry of people, you know, with shortages and, you know, apprentices not coming into the industry and a general lack of people. And it's going to really start to hold back some of these big developments if we don't start addressing that.
Well, as a business owner in the construction industry, what I've had to do is now work quite happily within partnerships with a lot of the local colleges and schools, and get myself down there to encourage apprentices to come on with us, and we give them the tools and the opportunities to do it, because obviously we've got a growing need for labourers and a lack of skilled workers in our trade, and it's a never-ending battle of trying to get those people to facilitate the projects that we are almost shovel ready with. And it's not just one or two, it's entire teams that we pocket from one project to another. So, yes.
I know you want to talk us to talk about infrastructure, Martin, development, but just to come back on that, Charlie, I think probably one of the most shocking things I heard was a couple of months ago when I visited one of our local colleges, and they actually had to close some construction courses and cancel them because they couldn't get the tutors.
Oh, goodness.
And that's the problem they're finding with where the rates of pay for carpenters, bricklayers, you know, all the trades.
Yeah.
They can earn such great, they're in such demand now, rates go. Actually, they've decided to go back onto the tools.
People want to teach. Right.
So we've got problems all round in those areas.
Well, let's talk about that perhaps in the final part of the show. We're going to break for another music track now, but I want to talk in the last bit of the show around sustainability and also, importantly, the skills gap there as well, Joe. So do stay with us and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. We've been very fortunate to have Joe James, OBE, Chief Executive of the Kent Invicta Chamber, with us today, talking about a whole range of subjects. But what I'd like to do, if we can, Joe, and also Charlie, our co-host today, is finish on the subject of sustainability. And Joe, I know you were at the British Chambers of Commerce conference in London last week, we mentioned earlier. What was the kind of, what was the discussion around sustainability at that conference, Joe?
Yeah, you know, it was one of the key themes, and actually it was a thread that went through all other elements, the other themes of the conference. And it was really just trying to get businesses to play their part, and how important that it is for, well, not just the UK, but at how it is globally. It's important that we all get involved. And really looking at things that businesses, particularly small businesses, can do to actually play their part. But I think, you know, if I look at sustainability, I think businesses are aware of the national targets that they've got, and, you know, they know that they have to play their part, you know, if the UK is going to achieve those targets. And in a buoyant economy, it really wouldn't be a problem. Mm. You know, businesses would look at it. But, you know, we're not in a buoyant economy. And our small businesses, to be perfectly honest, at the moment, they've got other key priorities. And putting it quite simply, the biggest key priority is keeping afloat and surviving. You know, and, you know, that they, you know, it's very important that they play their part. But actually, it's probably more important that they manage to actually stay afloat. So, you know, it's turning this round, put it on his head and thinking, okay then, you know, how is, by me looking at my carbon footprint as a business, how is this going to help my bottom line? Because it's, you know, that's what you've, you know, we all want to do our bit for the planet, but if you want to do something, actually your priority is surviving your business. You know, how can you do that that's actually going to help your business and reduce your bottom line? And and can I have a little plug here? A bit of my first plug, if you notice, all this time, and it's my first plug.
You've done very well.
Yeah, I have done well, and I've been very, very self-controlled here. The Chamber has a had a successful bid under the UK Shared Prosperity Fund, and it was, the UK Community Renewal Fund, and it was all around sustainability. And we put together a programme called Pathway to Net Zero. And through Pathway to Net Zero, it's about helping small businesses actually make that transition. It includes a myriad of support. There's free audits, there's business advice, there's training. We're doing some training sessions with the University of Kent, because I know, Charlie, that Martin just told you we've got one this week on construction.
Which I will be attending now, so thank you.
Glad to hear that. And then there's business support and sort of one-to-one support to help businesses put together a carbon reduction action plan and actually give them support to actually help them carry it out. So there is help out there. Details are on the Chamber website. There's also other links to other support that's out there to help businesses actually look at reducing their carbon. So www.kentinvictorchamber.co.uk and go and have a look at how you can get involved.
Fantastic. And speaking firsthand as a local business owner, we do use the Chamber's various methods of support, and it's invaluable. So thank you in person, whilst you're sat next to me, for that, for you and your team. But I think generally, you know, in order to be sustainable, businesses, whatever the size, are sort of making energy savings a part of our business culture, especially with the increasing costs of utility bills. But that's just a tiny, tiny fraction of what we've all got to do out there with regards to sustainability. But as you say, Joe, it's very much about keeping the businesses going whilst we're also trying to be sustainable as possible.
Understand the commercial benefit to your business and business model in being more sustainable in the longer term, ultimately.
Totally. And I think as well, you know, infrastructure, again, bringing that one back in, you know, if we're all going to be driving around in electric cars, we need to charge them. So, you know, there's a distinct lack at the moment. You know, infrastructure needs to play its part if we're going to make that transition.
Fantastic. Look, I'm sorry to say we've run out of time for today's show. It's been an absolute delight to have you both in the studio with us today. Joe James and Charlie Graham O'Gillam, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
We've thoroughly enjoyed it.
We've rattled through a whole kind of range of topics, haven't we? We haven't really done them justice, but we only had an hour, unfortunately. So thank you again, and you must come on again, you know, hopefully when we've seen the back of this latest crisis, Joe, and give us an update on all the positive things that are happening again. But for now, it's been an absolute delight to have you both, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. We do have another show, and we actually have East Kent College on, who are going to be talking about some of those skills and kind of training issues, if you like, and bottlenecks in the marketplace. So that'll be a fascinating discussion as well. But for now, thank you so much to our listeners for joining us, and we'll be back with you again in 2 weeks' time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.